listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media that is dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your show creator and host. As a psychotherapist over the past 40 years, I've spoken with hundreds of people who were sad, angry, or hurt over the death of someone they loved. Their biggest pain, aside from not having said all that was in their heart that they wanted to the deceased person before they passed away, was that they would never see them again, never be able to talk to them. Their loved one was gone, and they were left with a bottomless ache. Well, my guest today, the psychic attorney Mark Anthony, uses his gifts to help people get past these aches by putting them into contact with their departed loved ones. We're talking about what he does, how he does it, and how it helps on today's show. During this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on either of our chats, one at emotionalpro.com and the other at blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. And also remember that you can call us toll-free and talk with our guests directly at 888-498-0570, 888-498-0570. Well, Mark Anthony is known as the psychic lawyer. He's a published author who's written several articles on both law and metaphysics. And today I'm talking with him about ideas in his best-selling book, Never Letting Go, which is about healing grief with help from the other side. Mark is descended from a long line of psychics and mediums that have been helping people with their abilities for centuries. He has worked to expand his psychic gifts to the fullest potential, including studying with the prestigious Arthur Findlay College for the Advancement of Psychic Science in England. Mark is also a successful attorney and certified mediator, and he's licensed to practice in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court, having studied law at Oxford University in England. His life mission is to use his abilities to assist those suffering with grief caused by the loss of a loved one. He's appeared on several TV and radio shows, lectured at universities such as Harvard, Brown, and Yale, and you can find him at HealGriefWithBelief, BELIEF.com, HealGriefWithBelief on the web. Mark Anthony, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Full Power Living.
Thank you, Eileen. It's great to be here. I've really been looking forward to this show.
Great. Well, our program, as you heard, is focused on emotions, and it seems to me there isn't another part of human life that has more emotion attached to it than losing life through death. So we humans are afraid of it. We get angered about it. We try to ignore it. We're overcome with grief when people die. And you say that a big part of this is that we don't understand what death is and that it's a part of a larger reality that most of us are either not aware of or don't accept. Am I understanding you correctly about that?
Absolutely. And, you know, death is the great unknown. And even those of us, you know, as a psychic medium, I'm able to communicate and to perceive spirits. And that doesn't mean that I know everything about the other side, everything about death, but it gives me insight. And the one thing that I do know, every fiber of my being, every molecule in my body knows that life is everlasting. And when we physically die, when we leave this physical container and we transfer to the other side of existence, that we go on. So when you die, you take you with you.
Uh-huh. You take you with you, huh? That's great.
Absolutely. And what happens is psychologists, neuropsychologists in particular, have theorized in the past or believed in the past that our brain generates our consciousness. And in several schools in the field of neuropsychology, they're beginning to rethink this because it appears that the brain only houses consciousness. And this is not just a theory this is based on survival of consciousness studies that have been conducted worldwide. And that focuses on near-death experience studies where people physically die and they talk about separating from the body, the hovering sensation, going into the light, encountering loved ones, encountering an intelligence that they can only describe as God, and then returning when their body's resuscitated. People in my family, myself included, have had near-death experiences. And all over the world, these have been conducted, from the U.S. to Japan to Australia, the U.K., India, South Africa, Russia, I mean, you know, all over the place. And the conclusion of all the scientists is that your consciousness survives your physical death. And this is what all the great faiths have been teaching us. Hinduism, uh-huh. Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Native American, the Tao. I mean, you can go on and on and on with all of the religions, and they've all taught us that life is everlasting. So what's happening, and I think this is really exciting, Eileen, is that we're getting to an age now where science and faith are no longer mutually exclusive. Now science is beginning to prove what faith has been saying, and faith is validating scientific studies.
Yeah, I remember reading a study, a report one time that they measured people just at the, or they weighed people just at the moment of death, and they lost 4 ounces immediately. I thought that was interesting. You know, before the show started, Mark, I didn't check with you. We have a caller who would like some a personal reading from you. Is that something you're willing to do on the air?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do it. I didn't know that that's what we're doing today, but I am always open to helping somebody.
Okay, we have Selena, who has lost her husband, and I'll let her explain the rest. Selena, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, indeed. I'm calling from Canada. I lost my husband some years ago, and we both actually believe in reincarnation. My biggest fear was always that I would lose him, and sadly he passed unexpectedly at 47.
All right, hold on, Selena. Don't give me too many details, okay? Because I want to try to see if I can connect with him. And what I try to do is I don't want the reading tainted. Like right now, you don't know me, correct? We've never spoken. We've never met.
No, I don't at all.
Okay.
No.
Now, and what I do as a medium is I open up to frequency. And we have a bit of a rough connection, so that might influence it, but I'm going to do my best. And when somebody comes through, we oftentimes get very focused on who we want to hear from. And somebody may come through that is not your husband, but let's still listen to who that person is, okay? Now, the male, there is a male energy coming through. And what I'm feeling about him is this great... I get sensations throughout my body that can indicate the cause of death, and different causes of death have a similar sensation to me. So let me explain what I'm getting. I'm getting sharp pains in my chest. I'm getting, it's like down my whole left side of my body from my head into my throat and into my chest. I'm feeling this distortion and this weakening sensation. Does this make any sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so he's showing that, and it seems that this was kind of a surprise, like it was a sudden onset, and it feels like the time went so quickly between the two of you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Interesting. You remember the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson?
Uh-huh.
For some reason, I'm hearing that song, The Tonight Show, from Johnny Carson. Now, question is, it could be a name, there could be a J name, a male name starting with a J or with a C, or there may be something about that particular era, because I'm trying to remember when Jay Leno took over from Johnny Carson. That has to be at least 20 years. So I'm getting a late 80s time frame. Okay, is there something significant around 1987?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Okay, does his name have a J or a C in it?
No.
Okay, all right, so let's think about that. That may make sense in a few minutes. A lot of things that happen in readings don't make sense right away, all right? But what I get when I get the Johnny Carson theme song, was your husband real personable and outgoing and like to be the center of attention?
Not particularly.
Okay. All right. Well, this may not be him then. Okay.
No.
Hold on. Hold on. Interesting, though. Now he's presenting me with violet and the color violet. Do the purples, the violets, the lavenders make sense to you?
Not especially.
Okay, you know what? Since we're not getting anywhere with this, I'm going to go ahead and take a pass. If you have a question, that would be great. And the thing is, a lot of times in readings, things come up that you don't recognize right away or could be referencing somebody else. Because what I'm getting is a male energy here. Feels like he had some type of problem on the left side of his body. That could be a heart attack. That could be a stroke. That could be some type of accident because there's a pressure. I'm getting a draining sensation. I'm getting that he had an outgoing and gregarious personality, and I'm getting that there was a significant event between you and this person in the late 80s, okay, around 1987 in particular. But if that's not resonating with your husband, you know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time trying to focus on that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was an interesting experience because you had a number of impediments, like being on the electronic media, being over the phone, being at a distance. And yet you come from a long line of psychics and mediums, and you know how this stuff works from when you were very young. So I didn't hear in your voice, other than your concern that Selena was not able to get what she maybe was looking for, I didn't hear any doubt in you that this would indicate you're not being a medium or not being a good medium or not doing it right or any of those kinds of questions that might come up for someone.
Right. And the thing is, a lot of times when we get into a situation where we do readings, somebody's very focused. My example is, let's say you really want to talk to Aunt Martha and that's all you want to talk to. And I don't regulate to the order in which spirits come through because everybody's got spirits connected with them. And so when a spirit starts coming through, what can happen is, and I'm not saying the caller was doing this, but a lot of people do this. All they want to hear from is Aunt Martha. Everything else, they're tuning out.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And if you talk to any medium, they're all going to tell you the same thing because I know I was getting very specific and very important information, and chances are was not her husband. It could have been a father, could have been an uncle, could have been a grandfather, but there was a male energy associated with her that was coming through, and he was giving me very specific things about his personality and all of that. And if we're in a one-on-one setting, I would have the time to work with the client to determine who the spirit was.
Right.
Okay, so a lot of times, you know, it's really good when we have more time as opposed to, all right, now do a reading. And,
right.
You know, because if the spirit that you want to talk to is not the first one that comes through, you need to be patient because at some point they're going to. And I do a lot of readings. I mean, the vast majority of readings I do are over the phone. I had this one woman, for example. I said there's a male coming through. He's on a lower generational level, which means like child, niece, nephew. And I feel that he died very quick and unexpectedly. She goes, I don't care about that. I just want to talk to my son. Well, that's and that's what happened. Her son was killed in a car accident, and I was trying to explain because the way I get it, I see things in levels of generation. It's like a family tree chart, okay? And I was trying to describe the MBO because you don't want to come right out and say he died in a car accident because what I'm feeling is a quick and unexpected passing. And I have a feeling that when the caller reflects on that, a lot of the things that I was saying are actually going to make sense because I know I was getting the symptoms of her husband's passing. But, you know, I don't want to sit here and try to justify. Some readings, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Uh-huh. Well, now, just two things. Number one is you do readings for people, and they can go to your website, healgriefwithbelief.com, and
the easier way to remember my website is neverlettinggo.com.
Neverlettinggo.com.
Yeah, it points to the same domain name, same name as my book, neverlettinggo.com, and there's a section on there, schedule a reading, and I ask people, please read the whole page, because what happens is people, they don't read anything. They go right to the form. Then they start saying, I want to know about my love life, my career, this, that. And then what they're asking are like fortune-telling type questions.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean to sound demeaning when I say fortune-telling type questions, but I'm not a fortune teller. I'm a medium. And what that means is I communicate with the vibrational energy of a person who has crossed to the other side. And I refer to what I do as interdimensional communication, communication between this dimension and the dimension of the other side. And so people need to read what I do and then decide whether or not if that's something they want to engage in.
And you, one of the things that I've done over the years, when I have a dear friend who is very gifted, and when I would consult with her over the years, she helped me through my single parent years. I would write my questions down ahead of time, and it seemed that that sort of brought the energy together. Would you advocate that also?
I think it's a good idea when you go into a reading with a medium to have maybe, you know, three or four questions jotted down, because a lot of times during the course of a reading, I can tell when a spirit is sort of opening up for questions. And it's funny because I remember being in England, you know, a long time ago, and studying this under the tutelage of a prominent British medium. And I said, well, the spirit's just staring at me now. And he goes, well, then I'll ask a question. And it was really funny because that's what happens when they just sort of – and then he asked people, do you have a question? And most of the time people say no, they can't think of anything because they're overwhelmed by,
right,
by the contact, communicating with somebody they never thought they'd hear from before. And that's a very significant point, that you should be prepared, but you should also leave your expectations at the door.
Right.
For example, if you go into a reading like, I only want to hear from this person, and then other information comes in that could be another spirit, what happens is you are ignoring it and tuning it out. And you got to realize that when spirits are communicating, they're coming through for a reason, and they're coming through in the order that they're coming through for a reason, to provide you with important information.
And in your book, you also point out that if I'm remembering correctly, that spirits don't lie, that they're telling you the truth if they're telling you something.
Correct. And what may be improper is, or incorrect, is the medium's interpretation of the information. You know, for example, in that last, you know, in that call, you know, I was getting the Johnny Carson gregarious, and she said, no, he wasn't like that at all. Perhaps the issue was he was presenting he was not like that. Okay?
Right.
A gregarious and outgoing personality was the issue. Okay, and so you got to be careful when you make assumptions on things.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we all do, and mediums do, and those things happen. It's like I was doing a reading for a police officer, and his mother's spirit came through, and I saw an apple. I said, oh, you must like apples. He goes, I hate apples. And I'm like, I know, and it's like, yeah, who hates apples, you know? And so then I go, well, was it her apple pie? He goes, I can't stand apple pie. And I'm like, a cop that hates apple pie? There's a joke in here somewhere, you know? And then finally he goes, wait a second. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, Mom always said I was the apple of her eye.
Ah.
So when a spirit gives a concept before jumping to a conclusion, and a lot of clients get on the no train. No, 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 no. It doesn't make sense. I don't know. And what happens is they start flooding the whole energetic field with negativity, and that creates a block. You know, when I present, or a medium presents information, think about it before you say no. It's like the other night I was doing a reading. And this woman's husband came through, and I saw a military logo. And I said, okay, your husband who has passed, was he in the military? No. Okay, I go, I feel specific with the Navy. No. I go, is there anyone close to you in the Navy? No. And then she goes, well, wait a second. This guy just started dating. He's in the Navy. And it's like, you know. And what it was is her husband was coming through to talk about this with her. Okay,
uh-huh.
Because, you know, she loved this guy immensely, and he loved her, and they felt like each other, they were the love of their life, but it's been some years, and the spirit of her husband was coming through to say, hey, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny, because he also added, hey, he's not me, but it's okay. Because spirits, they maintain, you know, we maintain our personality and our sense of humor when we cross to the other side.
Well, I better start developing my sense of humor more. You know, I want it to last a long time. We need to take a break now. I'm talking with criminal and personal injury lawyer Mark Anthony, who's author of Never Letting Go. His website is neverlettinggo.com, and you can call us with questions at 888-498-0570. You're listening to Full Power Living, and when we come back, ask Mark more about what he calls the other side. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. Our upcoming guests are listed at the top of our radio show page on emotionalpro.com, and next week, psychotherapist Judy Bijou shares her system for mastering your emotions. She's the author of Attitude Reconstruction, winner of a Indie Best Book Award, and in reading her book this week, I can tell you it's a very different way for approaching emotions than most of us know, and very helpful, so do everything you can to join me for this show. If you can't listen to the live broadcasts on Blog Talk Radio or EmotionalPro.com, please consider subscribing to Full Power Living on iTunes. I also want to thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. We're talking today with the psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony, author of Never Letting Go. And, Mark, I know you get this question a lot, but I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and you are licensed as an attorney, and I would get into all kinds of trouble regarding my license if I billed myself as a medium at the same time I was billing myself as a psychotherapist. How do you put these together?
Well, first off, we live in the United States of America, and we have First Amendment freedom of religion, and what I do as a lawyer and what I do as a medium, I have an absolute right to do both of them. And I am a psychic and I'm a lawyer, ergo the psychic lawyer. So, I've received a lot of criticism from all kinds of people, all from, religious fundamentalists and religious fanatics, and that's to be expected. And I was in court one day, and it had hit the news that I was a psychic, and it was all over TV. And I walk in this courtroom, it's a big organizational meeting, and there's this judge there. And I like the guy, but he's kind of a wise, smart aleck. And he says, well, I guess we no longer need a probate division since Mr. Anthony here can talk to the dead. Now, this is a judge who uses his chambers to hold fundamentalist prayer meetings. So he's using a government facility. This is a direct violation of separation of church and state, okay? But nobody says anything. So in front of all these people, he's trying to humiliate me. So I turned to him and I said, Your Honor, I'd like to quote something from another great lawyer, Gandhi. I like your Christ, but I don't like you Christians because you don't act like your Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
And let me tell you, the color drained from his face. He said, point well taken. I apologize if I've offended you.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. You know, and it's like, yeah, keep using our tax dollars to hold your ultra-extremist prayer meetings. But the thing is, you know, he has a right to his beliefs and his religion, but he's doing it on the government's nickel. And, you know, I don't, because I don't work for the government.
Uh-huh. That's very good. Thank you. That is. I love that. You know, when somebody gives me a response like the judge gave you, I like to call that a grown-up response. Whenever you call somebody on something, you either meet their kid or they're grown-up. And I prefer grown-up responses.
it is because, you know, people they fear what they don't understand.
Uh-huh.
And that's why, especially like in bullying, and you're in the field of psychology, the kids that bully other kids are somehow threatened by them on some level, okay? Maybe they're smarter, maybe they act differently, maybe, you know, whatever. And people tend to ridicule and attack what they fear. And, you know, when you're a lawyer, a lot of people are scared of you, and then when you're a medium and you talk to the dead, people don't understand that. And I get all this stuff like the book of Deuteronomy says, well, you know, I appreciate your religious beliefs, but, you know, why don't you keep them to yourself? Because what I'm doing is not in contravention to God. Because in my belief system, and I was going to be a Catholic priest, I was raised in a devout Catholic background, I believe this ability is to help people coping with the death of a loved one. That's why, because people go, well, why don't you just win the lottery? It's like, because that's not what it's for, okay? It doesn't mean I haven't asked, but but that's not what it's for. It's for helping people, you know, make a connection. And the point that I have, the point that I like to make, and I wrote this in Never Letting Go, and Never Letting Go is a guide on the journey through grief. It's inspirational in that it provides evidence for the afterlife. It teaches people how to recognize when loved ones and spirit are around, and it's healing because it produces messages of love and healing from the afterlife. And my message in life is this. Number one, God exists. Number two, heaven exists. The other side, nirvana, Happy Valley, whatever you want to call the afterlife, it does exist. Three, we are immortal living spirits having a temporary physical world experience. Four, we can communicate with those spirits. And five, when it is our appointed time to leave the material world, to leave this world, to physically die, we will be reunited with our loved ones. And that's my message. And I've explained this to a lot of religious people, and I've had very high-level discussions with people in the Catholic Church, Protestant denominations, Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims, and they all said, you know, once we got past the fact that you're a psychic, we're all talking about the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's exactly the point. You know, I'm not here to threaten anyone's religious beliefs. And if people don't believe in what I do or they're afraid of it, then don't engage in it. Don't do it. Okay? Maybe it's for everybody. Maybe it's not. But if people are interested in making a connection with the other side, you know, they can go to my website, neverlettinggo.com, read about my book, look at the videos of me doing readings, and that is there for them. But I'm not here to seek converts. I'm not here to try to start a religion or a cult or anything like that, because it's all about God, and God exists in spite of religion, not because of it. But religions are a positive thing, Eileen, because when you get to the true heart of all the religions, they teach peace, love, and understanding. Where things go awry is when people with ego-driven agendas want to obtain a moral justification for their aggression and impulsive and their political desires, and they hijack a religion to foster anger, bigotry, fear, hatred, or violence. That's when you're no longer acting in the interest of God, but you're acting in a self-centered agenda. And that's the difference.
Wow. you're talking to a person who grew up in the military, who had relatives who had a lot of racial bigotry, and all of whom hid behind some religious facade. So I know exactly what you're talking about. When you're talking about, you say that heaven or some afterlife exists, and then you talk about the other side. I want you to tell us the other side of what? The other side is what?
I was hoping you were going to ask me that. I'm actually working on this. I'm writing my next book, and I'm spending a lot of time explaining my concept of the other side. We are in the material world dimension, and it is a finite existence. Everything we know has a beginning and an end and limitations, and we tend to think that time moves in one direction because, you know, look at a blackboard. Draw a dot on the left side of the blackboard and then draw a line from left to right. You know, it's the same direction that we read in. And then that line comes to the end of the blackboard. Well, that's how people look at their life. You're born, you move in one direction, you grow old, and then you die, and then that's it. Well, the other side is timeless because it's an energetic field. And it is a different dimension, and one that does not incorporate physicality. So basically, it's an energetic vibration. It's a different station on the radio, so to speak. Because we're in the material world, our vibration, our molecular and physical vibrations at a lower and slower rate. So let's say we're on an FM dial. We're at 88.5. The other side's at 107.9. And in spirit communication, we try to meet up vibrationally around 101.2. In other words, we get a frequency match. But the other side appears to have a whole range of levels to it. Think of a rainbow, the visible spectrum. Light has a whole range of different colors, right? I mean, we go from mm-hmm. the deep purples up to the reds and blues and greens and then into the yellows and then the white light. So there's a whole spectrum there, and the other side is energetic. So there are different dimensions and levels and frequencies to the other side. So let's say like the Osama bin Ladens and Adolf Hitlers and, you know, the really awful people, when they cross over, they're going into a frequency a lot different than would the Mother Teresa's, you know, the Gandhis, the people that have brought peace and love and hope to humanity. And so the other side is incredibly complex, and it's a vibration. And it always cracks me up when I hear psychics that wallow in superstitious nonsense that on Halloween the veil between this side and the other side is closer. It's like, please, I see spirits every day in my life, okay? And, you know, I am sure infinity is not, you know, geared to, oh, it's October 31st on Earth, let's be closer. The problem is with mediumship, there's a lot of superstitious nonsense, both by the people who fear it and by some of the practitioners engaged in it. And part of what I'm trying to do is tell people that there is a physiological basis why people like me are able to do this, and why people like everybody, I mean you and everybody else, is capable of having a mediumistic experience, because it's all about tuning into ultra high frequencies. You know, Eileen, if I asked you, right now, surrounding you are beams of invisible energy loaded with information, what would you say to me?
I would agree with that.
Exactly. And if, for those who don't believe me, you're listening to a radio right now, aren't you?
Right.
So how did that, you know, get to you? It's an invisible beam, a frequency loaded with information. It's just that we have the technical skill and capability to tune into that. The other side is a different level of frequency. I mean, think about what you can see in the visible spectrum. You know, the colors is pretty limited, but you can't see X-rays or gamma rays or, you know, other forms of electromagnetic radiation. There's an incredibly huge range of things that we cannot visibly see. Scientists have theorized over 90% of the universe is invisible to us. So why would the other side be a fiction simply because we can't always perceive it? I mean, we all know just because you can't see something doesn't mean it isn't there. So,
but don't you think that it's hard for people? I mean, you call yourself an evidentiary medium, meaning you, as you did when Selena called here, you tried to give her some information that she could connect with. But it seems like one of the hardest things is that I don't have the ability, or I don't believe I have the ability, if I'm upset or don't trust mediums, to tune into this myself, and I have to trust what somebody else tells me.
Well, we all have different skills and abilities. You can swim, right?
I can.
When's the last time you won 20 medals in the Olympics for swimming? Okay, and I'm not trying to be facetious, okay? Michael Phelps has big feet. He's got a physiology that makes him just whammo, okay? Mozart, all right? I took piano lessons. Gee, I'll never be Mozart, okay? What the studies indicate is that the pineal gland in our brain, small pea-sized gland about 4 inches behind the center of our forehead, for those of you who do yoga, the proverbial third eye chakra, okay? And the Hindus discovered this 5,000 years ago. The Buddhists picked up on it. There's even references to it in the Bible about this third eye. And within the pineal gland are calcite and magnetite crystals, okay, both of which have piezoelectric properties, which mean they generate an electrical charge when subjected to physical stress. And magnetite has an electromagnetic field. It regulates our rhythms and also brainwave frequency. Long story short, inside of our heads we have a very sophisticated radio station. However, some people may be better at using it than others. So for people like me, maybe I have an extra, you know, calcite or magnetite crystal. And what that enables me to do is tune into that radio station. However, how many people that are listening have had a dream where a loved one has spoken to them in a dream and it seemed real? Have you ever had that, Eileen?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Have you ever been in a room or someplace and all of a sudden you felt like a deceased loved one's presence? You just kind of felt they were there?
That I haven't done.
Okay. What about turning on the radio all of a sudden and there's a song that reminds you of a person that you love that has passed?
You know, when I put my cat to sleep, I had to do it by myself, and I wished I had somebody with me. And afterwards, I stopped at a convenience store, and somebody drove in with a license plate that said Sugarfoot, and that's what my grandfather used to call me. And I burst into tears because I thought I was being told that my grandfather was with me.
Exactly. Things like that don't just happen as a fluke. Spirits have a tendency to be able to direct our attention to something like turning on a radio and when a song that reminds you of that person comes on, or if you have a dream where it's not really a dream, it's a visitation. And you can tell the difference because in a visitation it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's very coherent. Unlike a dream, which is that surrealistic gobbledygook that we go through. So the reason for that, the visitation, is that when your body is relaxed and your mind is relaxed, all of a sudden your pineal gland goes into action, and it becomes the radio station and increases the frequency so that a spirit can align his or her frequency with that and get an energetic match and therefore communicate with you.
Uh-huh.
So... that's how. So we can all do it. It's just that we can't all do it like we can't all win gold medals in the Olympics for swimming.
Right. Well, now, I want to give you a question, and then we need to take a break, but I want to give you a question to think about. In 2005, my sister spent the last 7 months of her life in my home. She was battling cancer, and she did not believe in anything larger than herself. In fact, one day I asked her if she had been having any dreams about relatives or, you know, people we'd been close to who had died, and she looked at me and said, "I'm going to tell you the same thing that I've told everybody else who wants me to validate their beliefs. No." And now she's been gone, 8 years, and I'm, you know, what happens with a person? I've had one or two dreams about her, but not really very much. And if a person really is not open to believing, what happens with them? Anything different? So think about that, and we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Full Power Living, and I'm talking with Mark Anthony, who is author of Never Letting Go. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives, as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar. All right, we're back here on Full Power Living talking with Mark Anthony, who is an attorney and author of Never Letting Go. You can find him on the web at neverlettinggo.com. Now, before the break, Mark, I posed this question about my sister who had no interest in any kind of spiritual belief or larger than anything. And I ask you, what happens with them? And have you ever had anybody, I guess here's another, have you ever had anybody who was not at all spiritual come through in a reading?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because just because they didn't believe it here, when they go to the other side, it's like, oh. And this is half humorous, half very sad. But my best friend, and actually I'm writing about him, I guess I'm giving you all a preview of my next book. But I met Marty when I was 11 years old, and our birthdays were a week apart. We went through junior high school, college together, and it was like my brother, you know what I mean? It was like the kid down the street that we grew up together, and he was always in my house, I was always at his, but he was an atheist. He was Catholic like I was when he was a kid, but as he got older, especially in college, he got into the whole atheism thing, and he didn't believe anything I did as a medium. I don't believe this. And we even toured, he lived in Japan, he was teaching English, and I went over and visited him. We even, like, you know, visit all these Buddhists and all that. We'd have these long discussions. So over our entire lives, we had this discussion that I would say God and heaven exist, and he said, no, it doesn't. And he committed suicide a few years ago. I remember his wife called me up, and she said, you know, she was from Japan, and she said, they want me to turn him off, and I cannot do that. And I said, then don't do it. And so she told the doctor she would not remove life support, and he expired on his own like 3 hours after that conversation. And I'm so glad that I told her. I had a feeling, don't do that, because I know how she is, and she's a very sweet and loving and gentle person, and that would have just devastated her to know that she would have been responsible. And, you know, then I get the word that Marty has passed, and, you know, this is a death in the family. This is someone I have known pretty much my whole life. And I remember sitting in my living room, and I just all of a sudden I saw him in front of me. And he said, well, I guess you won that argument. And you know, and then when a medium has an experience like this, we're skeptical. I'm the king of skeptics, because I wasn't sure, was this really Marty or was this my wishful thinking? And about an hour later, I get a phone call from a friend of mine who's a very, very well-known medium. And I didn't say anything about Marty, and we're talking because it was about, you know, we're discussing something else. We're going to be teaching a class together. And she goes, you know, since I've been talking on the phone, I see the presence of this male, and she describes, you know, Marty, the blonde hair and the blue eyes and all this, and she goes, and he's around you, and he feels like a brother, but not a brother, and he keeps saying he won some argument. And so then I knew it was real. So here was somebody who was an avowed atheist who, right after he died, came to me and said, well, you won that argument. There is an afterlife. And I do touch upon that in Never Letting Go. There's a story about my grandfather who had lost his faith. And he comes through actually to my mother to tell her about what he had seen on the other side. So I get a lot of people that are so-called atheists. And, you know, once again, you have a right to believe or to not believe. And whether or not you believe in religion or whether or not you subscribe to a particular, you know, path, you're still going to the other side. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's going to happen. And what you choose to do when you're there, once again, is you have free will there as you do have free will here. There's something that J.R.R. Tolkien said that I really agree with. The only true choice we have is what to do with the time that is given us.
Oh, nice. Well, thank you. What I want to look at here is the whole issue of grief. By and large, people come for readings when they have grief or they feel responsible or they didn't get finished with something or something of that nature, especially maybe that they didn't tell their loved one how they really felt about them. And that's a lot of what your focus and the focus of individuals coming from the other side is for, is to help the people who are here in the world relieve themselves of guilt or feel better so that they can go on with their lives. Is that correct?
That's part of it. Part of it is actually validating a belief system, validating the belief that life truly is everlasting. And the way that we do that as an evidential medium is I have to bring forth pieces of evidence. You know, and sometimes people don't get what the pieces of evidence, or maybe they're not, you know, they're not for that particular spirit. They could be for somebody else. But if I just tell you, oh, your grandmother's around and she loves you, then anyone could say that. But if I tell you what she looked like, how she died, facts about her, things, you know, in personal details. I was doing a reading, it was a gallery reading in front of all these people, and this little old lady, and she was so sweet, and I kept giving evidence after evidence, and her name was Edna, this is, you know, the name I've given her for the book, and her husband Herb came through, and she's like, how do I know it's really him? And she's going on and on and on, and I don't know what else I could give her. I mean, I was given facts and dates and everything, and finally I go, well, ask him a question. She goes, well, what did I give him for his last birthday? And the response flew right through me. I go, a headache. And she looks and she goes, why that son of? I go, ma'am. And she goes, now I know it's him. and apparently that their relationship, they were like, remember on Seinfeld, George's parents always kind of bickering. They were kind of like that. And he was always teasing her and she was always snapping at him. And that's what she missed. And she started crying and she says, that's what I missed about him. His sense of humor. She goes, yes. And then she goes, just like him, I'm here suffering, he's in heaven. I mean, it was, and the crowd was hysterical. And even as a medium, I mean, I'm trying not to, I lost it. I mean, I was laughing. I mean, it was funny. But she was so thankful because now she knew it was her because his personality came through, you know. Uh-huh. And so it's things like that. So, yes, it alleviates grief, but it also lets you know that somebody that meant so much to you did not just disintegrate into nothingness, and that he or she lives on, and that helps people cope. And you know, that's why, you know, my domain name is Heal Grief with Belief. I use neverlettinggo.com because it's easier for people to remember. But you heal grief with belief that God exists, that an afterlife exists, and that we can communicate with these people, and that we will see them again when it's our time to leave. So that's what I tell. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, another thing I was stimulated to think about in reading Never Letting Go is how important it is when we are here on the earth with the people that we love, that we stay conscious, that we let them know that we love them, that we tell them that we appreciate them, that we think about what would happen if these were my last words to this person. And I got a strong message that part of what we're supposed to hear here is, you know, wake up and be kind and love one another.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone from Krishna to Jesus to Mother Teresa, that's what they said. You know, be nice to people. Treat people how you want to be treated. One of the things I try to stress is the last thing you say to somebody that you love at the end of every personal or phone conversation, even if, you know, and let's face it, the people who love you are the ones that really know how to punch your buttons, okay? Those are the ones that can really get you angry. No matter what, always say, I love you at the end of that conversation, because you never know if that is the last conversation you'll ever have with them. And I've seen that a lot. I mean, the last words spoken were in anger. I mean, saying things like, I hate you, I wish you die. And, you know, that's typical of, like, you know, when you're having some type of argument. And you really don't wish that, okay, on someone you love. I had one instance, and I chronicled this in Never Letting Go, where the last thing that this man said to his daughter before he went into a coma was, well, you're my least favorite child, but you're here. You know, that. You know,
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and God, what a thing to live with. But the reading was really great, because he came through and gave a whole lot of things, and once they're on the other side, they're free of the mental and physical disabilities and infirmities, so they're able to clearly communicate.
Yes. Well, now here's a puzzle thing for you. You do consider this in Never Letting Go, and yet I puzzle over it. If I'm a person who gets stuck in my grief and I can't turn the other person loose, I can still be contacted and comforted by them, but often during that contact, they ask me to actually turn them loose so I can move on with my life and they can go on to whatever it is that they're doing on the other side. So ultimately, I do need to let go, don't I?
Absolutely. And the title of the book, Never Letting Go, because people ask me that, aren't you supposed to let go? What you have to let go of is the pain, the agony, the shock, and the trauma of the death. Never let go of the fact that you love somebody, okay? Because you never will. All right, always love your child who died, your spouse, your parent, you know, your friend. Always love them. What you have to let go of is the pain and the agony associated with the death. And one of the key chapters in Never Letting Go is going from a physical to a spiritual relationship.
Right.
And I get a lot of people come to me for readings, and they're like, I want them. I want to see them. I want. And, yeah, what they're doing is they're clinging on to the physicality of a relationship, which does not exist, and that they have to let go of. What they don't have to let go of, or what they'll never let go of, is the fact that the relationship is now one of a spiritual nature. So you let go of the sorrow, but never let go of the love.
That's a beautiful way of looking at it. Well, you say that departed loved ones and angels, archangels and ascended masters all want to help us, but we also, as you mentioned earlier, have a choice about whether we listen and heed their messages. And you also make a statement that I'm interested in. I tend to look at the earth as a big giant school that we've all come here in order to be able to learn. And you say ascended masters excelled during their life on earth, mastering their own life lessons. And I wanted to hear more about your take on that.
Wow, I wish we had more time. I see we're coming over the top of the hour.
Yeah, we are.
Let's take Jesus, for instance. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, and that could be a metaphor for the divine overcoming the ego, the self-centeredness, or for those who are fundamental, it's the guy with the pitchfork. Okay, but in that, and Buddha went through a similarly soul-searching process. I believe it was also 40 days. And what happens is it's overcoming the ego, the self-centeredness, the materialism in favor of the spiritual and the divine, and to bring a universal message of peace and love and understanding. And that's what the great ascended masters have done. Because, you know, religion has been used to justify some unspeakably horrific things in history.
Yeah.
But the religions themselves don't teach that, or at least the masters, you know, like Jesus, Krishna, Buddha, you know, the really enlightened teachers did not teach that. People, you know, grab a religion and say, well, this religious text says I can do that, and it's like, and it doesn't. So that's what it is. The ascended masters are here to help us, to give us that example. And I consider Gandhi in that. You know, Gandhi pretty much brought down the British Indian Empire. No small feat, okay?
Right.
And he did it without the advocation of violence. He says, you must be willing to die for your cause, but not to kill for it. That's pretty radical thinking, because there's a lot of people, a lot of Hindus, a lot of Muslims in British India that really wanted to start killing some white people. And Gandhi said, no, that is not the solution. You must bring them up to your level. And he says, and when the British leave, we will see them off as friends.
Wow.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yep. Wow. Well, you're right. We're running out of time. I really like talking with you, people like you, and you are a person who lives a life dedicated to service to your fellow humans. And I want to thank you on behalf of all the souls and the people that you've helped and will continue to help with your God-given talents. And thank you for making this accessible through your book, Never Letting Go. And please, I'd love to have you come back when you get your next book published, too. And thank you very much for your time, Mark Anthony, for here on Full Power Living. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. God bless you and to all the listeners.
All right. So join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time or noon Eastern for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. Listen next week when psychotherapist Jude Bijou shares her system for changing your emotional attitudes regarding sadness, anger, and fear as we talk about attitude reconstruction. Robin Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer today. Thank you, Robin, for your impeccable work. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.